Hi, this is Dan Patterson from the Creepy Sleepy Show podcast, and the following is a short excerpt from the Creepy Sleepy interview with Senator Tim Johnson from the state of South Dakota. We interviewed Senator Johnson on Friday, the 20th of April. We discussed a number of topics, including military base closings and new media. That includes podcasts. The full interview will be available on the Creepy Sleepy Show podcast, coming very soon from DiamondMindMedia.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can email the Creepy Sleepy Show at CreepySleepyShow@gmail.com. Here is the interview with Senator Tim Johnson.
This is Senator Tim Johnson, and you're listening to the Creepy Sleepy Show with Doc and Dan.
All right, this is going to be broadcast on both KBHUFM.com, and it will be, or KBHUFM, and the college radio station in Spearfish. And it will also be, you are the first senator to be in a podcast.
Well, I've got to say, I believe that this is the first interview I've ever done on iPod.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this. And it kind of ties into our first question for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a brand new and emerging form of media. And you've had kind of a low media profile over the last couple of years here. Is this intentional on your part, or do you have plans to boost your media profile in any way?
Well, it seems to me that the best politics is to do a good job of what you're doing.
Right.
I've been in Spearfish on numerous occasions working on both economic development as well as education issues. I serve on the Appropriations Committee,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pleased that the $10 million that I secured for the underground laboratory Homestake is going to be put to good use, it appears, and I'm hopeful that that will spin off into more high-tech job creation in
right.
the Black Hills for South Dakota. So what I do is pay attention to my knitting. I pay attention to my work, and obviously I'm glad to talk to people from the media, but I don't spend a lot of time pursuing the opportunities.
So in your opinion, the media and all any type of coverage comes secondary, and it would come after or because of the job that you're doing?
Yeah, I've got this quaint idea that you ought to have something to talk about before you spend a lot of time
right.
talking. And it seems to me that rather than just spending a lot of time running around from media outlet to media outlet,
mm-hmm.
that I want to primarily focus on getting the job done. And obviously I'm very open to when the media comes around and wants to talk to me about one thing or another. But
right.
It really, I think sometimes, you get some politicians out here where if you ever got between them and a media microphone, you'd get trampled. And that isn't the nature of what I do.
Well, on a side note as far as that goes, Senator Tom Daschle was inversely very high profile.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that having been the junior senator and now the senior senator, that your role sort of changes when you take on the seat of the senior senator from the state of South Dakota?
Well, there are some additional responsibilities, and of course Senator Daschle is high profile because he chose to take on a national political role with the National Democratic Party in the caucus. I tend to be less involved in political party kinds of things. I'm more involved in trying to emphasize South Dakota and trying to bring both parties together to be a bridge between Republicans and Democrats. So there is a difference in how we view our roles. I have a high regard and great respect for what Tom did, but I have to do what I do, and that tends to be a bit different. It seems to me that one of the things that I can do as senior senator is to try to help set a tone of civility and respect within the caucus. We've gone through 4 years of just terribly tumultuous politics in South Dakota. First, John Thune's race against me, which I narrowly won.
Mm-hmm.
Then John's race against Tom Daschle, which John narrowly won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people of South Dakota are exhausted from all the politics that the high-profile roles that those campaigns played. And I don't want to see the take-no-prisoners politics that characterized so much of those last two Senate campaigns carry over into our relationship in the delegation. So one of the first things I did was invite John to come up to my office and chat with me about South Dakota's agenda. I've been down to his office. We've had Stephanie over. Our staffs have met. Our chiefs of staff have had lunch. I've had lunch with John. In fact, for this last BRAC round, I chartered a small plane with John out to Rapid City to talk to the media out there, to talk mm-hmm. to the community. And I think that there are a great many areas where we have common ground, and as senior senator, I'm going to emphasize that. There are areas where we have differences of opinion, sometimes profound differences. But I think that we can both be spirited advocates for our point of view without throwing elbows at the other, without trying to demonize the other. And so I think setting that tone of respect and civility within the delegation is one of the key things that I can do as the senior senator.
Well, and it seems like that's something that right now is not... You talk about respect and civility, and then we look at the big fight between Democrats and Republicans right now regarding filibusters. And is that something that is being, and going back to the media again, is that something that's being more of a public media battle, or are people trying to get along and trying to resolve these issues?
Well, I think you've got some of both going on. There are efforts at compromise, and I happen to believe that the filibuster 60-vote rule has historically been a good thing for America, because in the Senate, both parties, whether they like it or not, have to reach across the aisle and work with each other.
I think
that's a good thing versus the House of Representatives, which is terribly polarized and terribly bitter and angry most of the time. But there is a lot of media attention to it, and frankly, some of the collegiality and civility that used to exist in the Senate has been diminished by this ongoing political war, where we have more and more outside groups, well-funded, with very harsh rhetoric. Oftentimes the harshest rhetoric in these political campaigns don't come from the candidates themselves. It comes from the outside groups that come in and spend millions of dollars in our state trying to demonize the other opponent, attacking their religious faith or their patriotism or their character or their motives and whatever. And I think that's terribly unfortunate, because I think that's different than what we've had in South Dakota in the past. And then some of that, of course, gets into the media. Both sides have become increasingly skilled at dispersing their message, and that's particularly true, both positive and negative messages, through the multiplicity of media outlets that now exist.
Now your concern here actually raises a question of mine, specifically about Senate Bill 579, which proposes a research into the effects of media on children. Are you concerned that kids are seeing too much political war here? Is it hurting kids?
Well, I think we're all concerned about the coarsening of the culture,
right?
Not just politics. It's glamorization of sex and drugs.
So it's not just glamorization
of
political
behavior. And so I think we do need to know more about what's going on and how that does impact children in particular. The complication, of course, is that while those are very legitimate concerns as a parent and grandparent that I have, you still have First Amendment considerations as well. And for many people, the best strategy, if they don't like what they see or hear on the media, is to turn the station or turn it off. And
so
we need to remind people of that as well.
So why would you think that a certain set of legislation, this isn't like a new thing. Your bill suggests a study on the effects of media for children, but in the past they've made legislation that sets fines for certain things on TV and that sort of thing. Why would you think more legislation would be necessary when there's such a simple solution, such as turning the TV off or turning the radio off if they don't like what they hear?
It's important for parents, for public policymakers, to know what the consequences of some of this stuff is. I think the more we know, the wiser the decisions are that we can make. And so this legislation is not directed at censorship. It's not directed at shutting anybody down, but it is directed at making sure that our parents, teachers, counselors, clergy, everyone has a better notion of are the things we're worried about that we really shouldn't be worried about, and are the things that we ought to be a lot more worried about than we are.
Well,
we don't know. We're just sort of shooting in the dark right now about the effects on children of all this media message.
No.
But I think that the more we know, the better off we're going to be.
Will some of this research extend to... Now, I assume you're talking about traditional media, radio and television, which, like you said, you can just turn off. But will some of this research extend to new media, like satellite radio or, in this example, podcasting? You know, this is something that you have to go out and get. But kids can be just as easily exposed to that. Are you extending this research into new media, or is it traditional media?
Well, I think it's important that we understand, regardless of the media, what kind of impact, good, bad, or indifferent,
okay,
certain kinds of messages have.
So it's more on the
now,
impact.
Obviously, the federal government has a greater authority to regulate over-the-air type media because of the utilization of the public's airwaves than it does print media or other, or cable, for instance,
right,
where there is no, or there's a far less federal hook. So you have some differences in terms of jurisdiction there. But I think we ought to applaud the explosion of alternative media types. iPod, I think, is a wonderful thing. The explosion of cable. I have satellite radio in my car. It gives me more choices, and that's what America, in part, is all about. More choices, more options, more liberty for more people. And we don't want to, you know, disrupt that. But I think that the more we know about the consequences of certain kinds of messages or exposure, the better off we'll be. We may panic less at certain kinds of things because it turns out that kids are pretty resilient. They hear
right,
a lot of things, you see a lot of things, and
right,
it doesn't affect them much. There may be some other things, however, that are damaging, and if that's the case, we ought to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
The preceding was an interview by Dan Patterson and Doc Stodden for the Creepy Sleepy Show with Senator Tim Johnson from the state of South Dakota. For the full interview, you can catch the Creepy Sleepy Show podcast, which will come through openpodcast.org and be available very soon on diamondmindmedia.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at creepysleepyshow@gmail.com. Once again, the Creepy Sleepy Show interview with Senator Tim Johnson.